Good morning. How many of you remember the title of our message last week? If you're here a week ago, if you watched it online, what was the title of last week's message? Okay, all right. I heard some rumblings. It was there. What is the church? Maybe you don't remember the title, but maybe you remember the life-changing visual. Okay? Life-changing. Now, we talked about what is the church, and as we talked about that, do you remember what we said it was? Is the church the coffee? Is it the chairs? Is it the furniture? Is it the worship equipment? Is it the building? No, right? What is the church? The church is the people. Specifically, we defined the church as a community of gospel people on mission. But there's one aspect to that working definition that we didn't get to cover last week. What I mean by that, you can see when we zoom in. As we zoom in, can you tell me who these people are? No? It's not clear? It's not obvious who these people are? No, of course not, right? They're faceless. They're nameless. But the church isn't a nondescript community of faceless, nameless gospel people. No, the church is Stacy and Nikolai and Fred and Greta and Walt and Calissa and Susanna and George and Pam and many others. The church is a known community of identifiable people, identifiable members. And since it would be hard, if someone asks you the question, where do you go to church? Since it would be hard to say, well, I go to the church where Stacy, Nikolai, Fred, Greta, Walt, Calissa, Suzanne, and George, and Pam go, we often give this group a name. In our case, Open Arms Church. It's a little bit easier to say, rolls off the tongue. For any church, for our church to fulfill its covenantal, its theological, its evangelistic, and its practical purposes, a community of gospel people needs to consist of identifiable members, which is our title, which is our focus this morning, membership. Membership is how the church fulfills its mission. Now, by this word membership, do we mean that the church is some type of social club that you're supposed to join? Is it a good driver's association? Is it a discount program? No, of course not. In fact, the richness of God's design of the church is so vast that there's not even just one metaphor in Scripture that God uses to describe the church. There's a variety of metaphors to try to get at an understanding of what the church is and what membership consists of. We looked at a few of these metaphors last week, but here are some that we find in Scripture. Family, bride, temple, a holy priesthood, a flock of sheep, branches of a vine, exiles, a holy nation, salt of the earth, etc. We could keep going. However, when describing how the members of the church body interact with one another, there's one metaphor that keeps showing up again and again and again. Body parts. Members. Parts of a body. It's not the best or the only metaphor used to describe the church, but it's the metaphor that shows up most frequently when used to describe how the church body is to interact with one another. Among other places, we see this in 1 Corinthians 12. Turn there in your Bibles with me. It's also in the back of your program. We're going to look at a number of scriptures this morning to understand, to unpack this concept of membership. I want to start in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, if all were an ear, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts. There's not just an ear, but there's an eye and a nose, etc. There are many parts, yet one body. Then jump down to verse 24. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Believers are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is where we get the term, where we get the concept of membership from. Similar to what we did last week, let's use our time together this morning to unpack, to assemble a working definition of what membership means. Here's the first part. You can fill it in your program if you'd like. Membership is a church body committing to take responsibility for you, for its members. When someone becomes a member of a local church body, that local church body can no longer be apathetic toward the care of that person. The relationship has to move beyond simply greeting and saying hello to one another on a Sunday morning to now a relationship where there's a commitment, a covenant-like commitment, to take responsibility for that member's spiritual growth. Biblically, we can find at least three major responsibilities that a church body, note, not just the pastors, but the whole church body, has towards its members. These are already in the back of your program, but we're going to look at each of these. Number one, oversight of discipleship. Number two, discipline when necessary. And number three, affirmation of kingdom citizenship. First, to see an example of where Scripture charges the church body to oversee discipleship, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. You can turn there if you'd like. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start for now in verse 11. Ephesians 4:11, he, referring to God, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip who, if you're there? The saints. Who are the saints? Stacy and Nikolai and Greg and Pam, etc. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, the body of Christ for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It is the church body, it is the members that are to build up the body of Christ, both upward in the sense of life transformation, investing in one another's discipleship, as well as outward, multiplication, disciple making. It is the members of the body who do this work together. The church body oversees discipleship. That's the first biblical responsibility. The second, we see discipline. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 15, Jesus said this. He said, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. In other words, go one-on-one. If someone has wronged you, if you see someone stuck in a sin that maybe they don't see, go to them privately. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. You have won him over. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to who? The church. Tell it to the whole church. The church body has a responsibility there to come alongside that person, to caution them, to warn them, to exhort them. It's not just a one-on-one thing. It's not just a two or three person thing. Now it's the church body. And then Jesus continues, if that person, if he refuses to listen even to the church, even to the whole body, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And by that phrase, it does not mean that we are to suddenly condemn that person or reject them or despise them. No, this phrase, let them be to you as a Gentile or tax collector, means that the church, the members, say to that person who once professed faith in Christ, they're saying, brother or sister, we can no longer affirm your profession of faith in Christ because you continue to live in this unrepentant way in this sin that we have cautioned you about. Therefore, as a Gentile or tax collector, we're not going to look down on you, but the only thing that we're going to talk about with you is the gospel. Nothing but the gospel. We're not going to talk about service. We're not going to talk about obeying all of God's commands. We're just going to talk about Jesus and his message to you because that is what you need to hear most. Now, the church can't de-affirm someone's profession of faith without on the front end affirming someone's confession of faith. which is the third biblical responsibility that we see a church body has to its members, is to affirm kingdom citizenship. Phrased differently, in other words, confirm that someone is indeed walking with Christ. 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which Christ walked. Back up one chapter, 1 John 1:6. If any of us say that we have fellowship with him, with Christ, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he, as Christ is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We can only have true, authentic fellowship with one another when we're walking together in the light. Before we can engage, interact with someone as a brother or a sister in Christ, we need to know if they're part of the body of Christ. The church body affirms kingdom citizenship. Membership is a church body committing to take responsibility for you, but membership isn't a one-way street. It isn't just about the church body committing to take responsibility for an individual or for a family, but also for that individual family to commit to take responsibility for the church body that they are a part of. Membership is a church body committing to take responsibility for you and you, member, for a church body. We can find at least three major responsibilities that a member has toward the church body that they've committed to be a part of. Again, these are already on your program. Number one, use God-given gifts to serve one another. Number two, ensure faithfulness to the gospel. Number three, uphold mutual accountability. Let's talk about each one. First, Romans chapter 12. Turn there. Romans chapter 12 gives a great depiction of how we are to use our God-given gifts to serve one another. Romans 12, starting in verse 4. Again, we see this language of members in the scripture. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Whatever your gift is, God is saying, use it to its fullest extent. Verse 9, let love be genuine. Abhor hate, cast aside what is evil, hold fast, cling to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. No matter what the gift is, and there's a diversity of gifts, this isn't an all-inclusive list here in Romans 12, but God says, whatever that gift is, use it for my sake and use it to serve one another out of love. Notice how love shows up a couple times there. Using a gift is not about calling attention to self or proving that my gift is better than your gift, but it's to serve. It's to serve out of love. There's, in this passage, you may have heard this phrase a couple times, you may have read it, one another, right? It says, love one another with brotherly affection. It says to serve one another. We are members one of another. That phrase shows up a couple times here, but throughout the New Testament, there are actually 72 different commands, different instructions that God gives about how we are to interact with one another. 72. I have the list if you want it. I won't go over that now. It'd be very hard to carry out all 72 of those things without being committed and attached to a local community of gospel people, what we're calling the church. Members use God-given gifts to serve one another in a way that God designed. Number two, a second responsibility that a member has to the church body that they've committed to be a part of is to ensure faithfulness to the gospel. Now maybe when you saw that, you thought, well, isn't that the job of the teachers, of the pastors, to make sure that the gospel is preached? Absolutely. And there's an accountability to that. And yet, we also see in Scripture that the church body, all the members, not just its pastors, have a role in that. In the book of Colossians, which is a letter addressed to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, notice the address there. It's the church body. It's all the members, not just its leaders. The church body was told this in Colossians 2:8. See to it, church body, that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. In other words, don't ever let something other than Christ, something other than the gospel, be preached, be taught. There's an accountability there. Make sure that that doesn't happen. Members ensure faithfulness to the gospel. Third, uphold mutual accountability. We see this in a variety of places throughout Scripture. One place we see that is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, which says this: let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but instead encouraging one another. And encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you hear all the verbs in there? Stir one another up. Keep meeting together. Encourage one another. Don't neglect your accountability to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Our time is short. Be focused. Be intentional to encourage one another. Encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pause for a moment on those two words, in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, it's underlined on the back of your program, but we also saw this phrase in Romans and Ephesians. We see it many other places in Scripture. It doesn't just say body, but it says the body in Christ or the body of Christ. And that's a very important distinction, right? Because who is it that unifies us? It's Jesus. It's not just the body all floating by itself, but it's the body of Christ. It's a body in Christ. Why is Jesus so important? Because here's what Scripture says is our situation apart from him. We read phrases like dead in our sins, enemies of God, destined for hell and eternal separation from our Creator, enslaved to sin and without hope. That's bad. That is bad news, but here's the good news, here's the gospel, is that Jesus died for our sin. He offers redemption through his sacrifice. He rose again to offer us life, and those who repent and believe in him somehow, unbelievably, are now called friends of God. Jesus is the only one who saves and gives us hope, and as we respond with joy to his free gift of new life, God has designed no better way for us to help each other follow Jesus than through a committed partnership, a deliberate commitment to our fellow members, which is the third part of our definition this morning. Membership is a church body committing to take responsibility for you and you for a church body. Why? To help each other follow and proclaim Jesus. After all, proclaiming Jesus is our mission. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race. Here's more of those metaphors. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If we can define the church as a community of gospel people on mission, then membership is how God says the church is to grow in fulfilling that God-given mission of proclaiming his excellencies. Let's look again at Ephesians chapter 4, this time verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we, church family, church body, members, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, with which it is supplied by God, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We simply cannot grow together if we're only in and out on Sunday mornings in a casual dating relationship. We live in an individualistic culture, but God designed us to be joined to a body. We need one another. We need more than dating. We need a committed, covenant-like relationship, a partnership, if we are going to grow in following Jesus and proclaiming his goodness to all nations. Making disciples, enforcing loving discipline, affirming kingdom citizenship, carrying out the 72 one another's of Scripture, ensuring faithfulness to the gospel, and upholding mutual accountability cannot happen well outside of a relationship where we see each other regularly and commit to take responsibility for one another's spiritual growth. Membership is a church body committing to take responsibility for you and you for a church body, but membership is not the end. It is a means to the end. The end is helping each other to follow and proclaim Jesus. My fellow members, are we doing that? Are we actively helping our brothers and sisters here in this local community of gospel people, are we helping one another to proclaim Jesus through our lives and our witness? If not, what are we doing? Have we succumbed to seeing the church as a social club, as a place to make friends, as a way to simply find comfort and community, or as a building that we show up at once a week? Or are we consciously and actively intentional to help our fellow members follow and proclaim Jesus in every facet of life? If we're not doing the latter, we're wasting each other's time. The church must be more than just a forum for social change or a hub of community service. The number one priority, universal in every context, is to see growth in the body of Christ through both life transformation and outward multiplication. The first step in becoming a member of a local church is to be a member of God's kingdom. That is the most important membership of the two. Which is the final question we want to answer this morning. How? How does someone become a member, first of all, of the body of Christ? Well, that journey begins with repentance and confession of faith in Christ alone. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, literally, if you agree verbally, out loud, if you say that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, absolutely convinced that God raised Jesus from the dead, what does Romans 10:9 say? You will be saved. That's something that happens internally, a belief, a repentance, which means turning around, going the other way, a surrender to Christ that is then followed by baptism, which is a public profession of obedience to Christ. We see this throughout the early church, throughout the New Testament. Acts 8:12 is one such reference when it says, they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they were baptized. Belief first, then baptism. In the early church, those two things were typically enough to demonstrate a belonging to the body of Christ, because no one in that day took the step of getting baptized or even confessing faith in Christ without understanding, without coming to terms with the social, economic, and even physical threats to well-being that such a decision might bring upon them. Back then, and in other cultures around the world today, there is a huge disincentive to identify yourself, to willingly identify yourself with a community of gospel people, as it could invite rejection, persecution, imprisonment, and in some cases, even death. In contrast, here in America, here in upstate New York, we live in a culture and a context, at least currently, where that's not the case. Now, that's good in many ways, right? And we can be grateful for that, but it can negatively impact a church's ability to automatically affirm someone's profession of faith, just because they said so. That task is made even more difficult by things like job transients, by church size, the size of the church, by demanding work schedules, by church hopping, by cultural trends like individualism and consumerism, and much more. The bigger and more complex that a society becomes, the harder it is to know who is with whom. Such factors are why, you see the next thing on the slide there, why a pastoral interview is part of the membership process at many churches today, including here at Open Arms. Now, I realized after making these slides that interview sounds really scary, and maybe I could have put a different word there. That is not an interrogation. It is more like a conversation. It is a conversation because we want to take time to affirm kingdom citizenship in accordance with verses like 2 Corinthians 4:5. We want to hear that what someone proclaims as their basis of salvation is not themselves or their own efforts, but of Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what we ought to be looking for as a church body. In preparing this message, it impacted me, and we realize as pastors we've been talking about that we haven't involved the church body as much as we could in introducing and affirming new members, and that's something we want to talk about. Because again, it's the body doing that, not just its leaders, not just its pastors, so we want to do that. But either way, whether it's pastors, whether it's the whole church body, however that looks, it would not be prudent to receive someone as a local body member unless it is known, unless it is obvious that they are a citizen of God's kingdom first. Whenever you or I are sitting with someone, we ought to be listening for something in their testimony that sounds something like, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I deserve God's judgment. But yes, Jesus died for my sin. And now he's my Savior and he's my Lord and I'm following him. Whenever we hear that, we can say, yes, then gladly we receive you first and most importantly as a brother or a sister in Christ. And then also we can talk about this concept of membership in a local community of gospel people. In a similar way, well, membership classes like the 101 class that we have here at Open Arms are not prescribed in the Bible. The premise is certainly biblical. The desire for such a class is to invite potential members to consider agreement on core principles. That desire comes from verses like 1 Corinthians 1:10, which says this, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment." Now, it doesn't mean that our church family, our church body is going to agree on everything, on every last little detail, but we do want to be on the same page when it comes to our core beliefs and when it comes to our church's particular response to God's commission to go and make disciples here in this region and to help each other follow Jesus. Membership is a church body committing to take responsibility for you and you for a church body to help Steve and Jeanette and John and Tom and Kevin and Lorraine follow and proclaim Jesus. After we pray and take our offering, once again this morning as we did last week, we're going to be recognizing the parts of the body that are doing exactly what we read earlier from Romans chapter 12, using their God-given gifts to serve one another and to bring honor to God. But more important than serving a local church is to belong to Jesus, the greatest servant of all. If this morning, if you are not sure, if you are not confident that you are a member of God's kingdom, a member of Christ's body, please do not leave here today without talking with someone about what it means to repent and give your life to Christ. Open Arms Church, let's remember, let's help each other to remember that we are on mission. We are to be the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let us be consciously and actively intentional to embrace our responsibilities to one another in a way that helps each other follow and proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the insight, for the instruction, for the truth, the life-changing truth that it gives to us. May we, as a church body, respond in obedience to what you are calling us to do. And that may be different for each one of us here today. What we're hearing from you, what we're hearing from these passages we've looked at this morning may be different. But Lord, whatever it is, Lord, help us to be responsive. Help us to be obedient to you. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.